Welcome to Third Republic's Women in Tech podcast. As part of the series, we'll be interviewing community leaders, experienced professionals, and influential individuals around their experiences of pursuing a career in tech, as well as addressing what businesses and communities can do to encourage more women into the technology industry and informing the community by promoting awareness and creating more opportunities. We believe that most businesses understand that having a diverse workforce and leadership team that reflects its customer base will be more successful in delivering new and innovative products and solutions. And with the help of our inspirational speakers taking part in the Women in Tech podcast, we hope to play a part in making technology a more attractive and inclusive working environment for all. In this episode, we sit down with Jessie Hallison, Engineering Manager at Ecosia. Thank you for joining us on the Women in Tech Republic podcast. If you could just introduce yourself and tell us about how you got into a career in tech.
Yeah, sure. Thank you, Caitlin, for having me. I'm very excited to be part of this podcast. So I'm Jessie Hallison. I'm engineering manager at Ecosia. I came into tech a bit by chance, I would say. It came from when I was a teenager after my French baccalaureate, and I didn't really know what to do with my life as any teenager at that age. And my parents suggested me to go to an engineering school that would open me a lot of doors. And at that time I picked a software engineering school because we got the hint at the time that it might be exploding in the coming years. So that would open me more doors. Yeah, it was by coincidence, but I have to admit that when I joined the school, I really enjoyed what I learned. And after I had the chance to travel for my studies and to travel for my work and to meet people who were really passionate about their craft, about their work, and that just get me even more excited about the field. Yeah.
You talked a bit there about how you went to school and like studied software engineering and then traveled as well. Have you noticed that there is a gender, in your experience, have you noticed a gender disparity in the industry? And, you know, outside of your experience, if you haven't noticed one, why do you think there is such a disparity, you know, within the industry?
Yeah, definitely. During my studies, I saw the difference. In my school, we were 30% woman in my promotion, which was considered as the highest percentage in really long time, so which is not that encouraging, obviously. And obviously in all the companies I've been working for except one, I've mostly always be the only woman and the only Black woman in these companies. So yes, this is something that I definitely noticed, that I've definitely experienced myself. And the why, I think there are so many reasons behind. There is this Wall-E story, at first computer science were done by women and was considered as a low paid job, not that interesting. And it's that when it started to be seen as something cool, energy, and very more intellectual, that it attracted a lot of men, and that women were slowly but surely pushed away. So that's why for me, when we say that the field is not feminine, that's not true. It started with women. It just got taken over by men at some point. Yeah. And why now we don't really have any more women. From my experience also in engineering school, I know that not everyone come into the field via engineering school, but I know that from my experience in engineering school, the atmosphere is a bit toxic and does not make you want to stay. I think the problem is not necessarily women joining the field, it's really women staying in the field, because it can be so toxic. You can face so many problematic like harassment, unfortunately, the glass ceiling also, where you can't continue to grow even though you show that you have the same skill, if not better than your colleagues, you can't get that promotion, and it always get to someone that does not look like you, that not your gender. I think that's all of the things that participate to not having so many women in the tech field.
Do you think that going to engineering school and having that kind of base in learning your craft, do you think that's helped you get to where you are in the industry, or has it played a part?
I'm sure that it played a part, because it helped me create a network in the field from the start, which is way more complicated, obviously, when you come from a bootcamp or when you learn by yourself and you're trying to enter in the field. Being in an engineering school is not perfect, it's not great, there are toxicity, but you get to create connection that you would not have otherwise. And that are people that will probably be maybe one day your colleagues or your manager or someone that will be able to give you a reference for a job. So yeah, that was definitely something that helped me to gain some positions.
You mentioned previously like some of the challenges, well, reasons why there's a gender disparity is because of the challenges that women face as part of kind of like a workplace culture. And you are a diversity and inclusion coach. So I was wondering if if you have certain initiatives or that like diversity initiatives that are really effective that businesses could implement to help encourage a more diverse workplace.
Yeah, definitely. At Ecosia, we have different things that we put in place. Obviously, first in the hiring process, we're really, really trying to reach out to underrepresented and underserved group, and not just to post in the main channel like LinkedIn, where it's always the same people who are. So we are really trying to bring the opportunities to people, and that really makes a difference. Lately, just in front end, on 4 hired, we were able to hire 3 women. And it's not because they got a pass, it's just that when they get the same access, in that case, they were more performing than some other candidates. And we got the best. We just hired the best. But this is an option that they might not have seen if we would not have actively tried to reach out to them. So we would have missed on those talents. So that's one of the first thing. We also review the way we do our interview to be really more inclusive. So obviously hiring, definitely one part, but there is also the longer parts. And I'm just talking about attracting talent. It's building connections with structure, like your structure, we are working a lot with Ready School, which is a coding school, a bootcamp school for mainly directed to refugees. It's open to everyone, but it's mainly directed to refugees to give them the chance to learn how to program to have a career in tech. So these are the things that we put in place just for attracting and for keeping the people inside the company, because it's great to be able to attract people. But if you're inside your company, it's toxic, they won't want to stay. And So we want them to want to stay. We want them to feel that they can thrive inside our company. So inside the company, obviously having a manager who is also a woman, who is a Black woman, who also know what it's like to be a woman in tech, definitely helps, because there are struggles that I will be able to see more maybe than some of my colleagues, for example. But we put in place also that it came in fact from Vanessa Aguilar, who is one of our front-end engineer turned SRE, sustainability engineer. She did the switch inside the company. So that's also something that we do. We really try to help also in your growth. And if you want to do a career switch, we will support you. But we came up also with a growth framework, because as you know, and that's also one of the reasons of the glass ceiling, is that sometimes you are asked to perform, but you don't know what is the performance that you're supposed to reach. This is kind of blurry, and you don't get the promotion, but you don't really know why. And we don't want that to happen. So we have this growth framework with clear characteristic, clear expectation for each level on different type of areas that help everyone to know what is expected from them to reach the next level. But it's transparent and it's known from everyone, and it has not been a top-down decision. This characteristic has been discussed inside the engineering team. So the growth framework has been done for engineers by engineers themselves.
On that, do you think that creating a diverse workplace comes from, you know, the teams and the ground up to the top, or do you think it comes from the top and goes down, or is it kind of a collaboration between both senior leadership and engineering teams?
It definitely comes from both. I've been in companies where the push were just coming from the engineers and individual contributors, and it just goes as far as it can. If you don't get the support, you don't get the funding, you don't get the time dedicated to that, you can't reach out you can create connections with infrastructure, what I was saying earlier. So it definitely can help, but it won't do everything, and definitely not help also for having people growing into senior or leadership roles, obviously. But if it just come from the top, but they were, if rarely it works, because you can just say, yeah, I'm for diversity, but you also need to embed it. And the way to embed it is to make sure that your whole company embeds it. So that's why I don't think that it's something that can come from one or the another. It really needs to be a company effort.
Yeah, it needs to become part of the company culture. And you've highlighted some really great initiatives, both for attracting talent and retaining talent, which I think is key, because it's like you mentioned, you've got to keep women in the industry as well. But are there any challenges that businesses might face when they're looking to hire a more diverse workforce?
I think if they continue with their hiring process without doing any changes, yes, they will face issue, and it will be easier to come and to say, yeah, this is a pipeline issue. This is not a pipeline issue. It comes from the way you advertise yourself. That's why, for example, employer branding kind of exploded in the past years. It has been something which were really trending. It's for a reason, because you need to change the whole approach that you have. You can't just post something online on LinkedIn and expect that people will just come and it will just magically attract diverse talent. We check the commitment of the company on these topics. We check that it's not just performative. We will look for feedback on Glassdoor, etc. So if they want to really make that successful, it needs to be a all-around approach and not just focusing just on diversity. They really need to take into account inclusion and belonging and equity. That's what will make people want to join the company. But if you just focus on one level and it's just performative, it will be known.
Is there like a particular area where businesses could start, you know, if they kind of had a blank canvas and they were like, oh, I don't know where to begin, would you push them towards a particular area, or should they go and try and change everything across the board and start completely fresh?
So what I would advise them is to talk to their employees, is to talk to the underrepresented groups in their companies, to the underserved group in their companies, and listen to them and understand what they appreciate inside the company, what should be changed, what happened, what was nice or not nice in their recruitment process. For us, that would be already great, because it would mean that it's not, again, just performative to attract people, but they're really catering to make sure that people already inside a company are going fine and feel heard and change happens. Because if these people see that change are happening inside the company, then they will start also to spread the word to their own network.
Moving on slightly, so you also speak at multiple events and conferences around diversity and inclusion. In your opinion, what are the main benefits to both businesses and women in tech of like getting involved in these industry meetups?
Several. For women, obviously, to see that there are, I do believe that representation matters, and sometimes when you're not seeing yourself represented in certain roles, you can't think that it's not reachable, that it will never happen to you. So going to this event and seeing so many talented women in CEO, CTO, leadership role is really inspiring. It really makes you feel like, okay, this is feasible. It's not that as a woman, I can't reach that. It's just maybe a systemic issue, but this is feasible and I will be able to reach that if I really try to create the connections. For networking as well, it's really nice because I've attended a lot of these events and I connected with so many inspiring women, and I really continue to follow them on Twitter or on LinkedIn and continue to be inspired by them. So for that, it's really great. And obviously for companies, it's to be seen as a company that takes that very, very seriously and not just, it's not just something in their D&I statement at the end of their job, but to show that they have also sponsor speakers, like send people from your own company to speak, show that inside your company also you value that and you support that.
And I guess as well, like attending these D&I meetups is a good way for businesses to stay kind of on top of what needs to be done and what they should be doing in order to continually create an inclusive workplace.
Exactly. We are all always learning. We are all, I'm still continuously learning. So that's how you continue learn. It's to get yourself out and to confront your own belief with other experiences.
And just to touch on what you mentioned about, you know, seeing like representation being key and being able to see these inspirational women in senior leadership positions, do you think that maybe role models is a key way that we can increase that future pipeline of female tech talent?
I think, yes, definitely. We had a surge of women wanting to be astronauts when we had the first woman going on. So obviously, when the Serena and Venus Williams started to win all the tennis games, we had a surge of women doing tennis. So yes, definitely seeing yourself, especially when you're a young kid and seeing a role model and you feeling I want to be like that, obviously it will have more tendency to push you to reach that goal than if you had no one.
What's your advice to businesses who are looking to properly support the mental health of their tech teams? Because obviously in terms of a inclusive workplace, that does include, and also what with the events of the past year and everybody being kind of remotely working away from their teams and their companies, and you know, mental health has become a really big thing. So do you have any advice on that?
Yeah, definitely. I myself suffered depression and burnout from work, not with my current company, but that led me to take 1 year hiatus of work because of that. So I'm a huge advocate of mental health. What I would suggest first is recognizing that mental health is health. So there is, I read this post, I think it was on LinkedIn, where a company was explaining that they switched the name Sick Days to Health Day because they wanted that to show that every part of health should be included in that, and you should take your Else day when you need that to get better. And I really like that. It's just a change of name, but in my opinion, it really means, it really showed the shift of mentality around your health, that it's not just sickness per se, like physical symptoms. Your mental health is also something that you should take seriously. What I would advise to companies that really want to be serious is to find ways to support their employees on that side. For example, at Ecosia, we get support with InstaHelp, which is an application that can connect you with therapists when you need. And that was really helpful for a lot of people. Me first, honestly, I took advantage of that, and I'm super happy that the company was helping us with this. And acknowledging, I do believe in leading by example. That's also why I'm not shying away the conversation around my own mental health, my own depression and burnout, and the fact that I'm going to see a therapist. The day you stop the taboo around those topics, the day you start to talk about that openly, because it's just like you getting not getting a cold, that's a really bad example, but what I mean is just you trying to get better and working on your health, that would be already a first step. So as a company, not putting a taboo, not putting on the side people who are suffering, if you want them to be performant for your company, you need to support them also in rough path, because they've been supporting your team in any shape of your company, when it was not going well as when it was going well. So you should, as a company, do the same for them, in my opinion.
Yeah, I guess it's like with D&I and mental health, the main thing to do is to make it a priority. The final question of the Q&A, just to like round it out, is what's the best piece of advice you've received that stayed with you throughout your career?
I'd say that there is one for sure, which was there. Just don't self-reject yourself. It's something that I say to all the mentee I have. Don't self-reject yourself. They're asking, the worst case scenario will get a no, but if you don't ask, you close the door to a yes, and you close the door to an opportunity. So that's really something that sticked with me, and that's also how I landed this amazing job I have at Ecosia, because I was not sure, but I still applied, and here I am after 1 year and a half in the company. I'm the happiest person in the world. So sometimes daring is really the best thing that you can do. And even if you don't trust yourself, let others believe in you, basically.
Yeah. Just as a bonus question, because you've touched on there that you are, you know, you have mentees. Do you have any like top tips for someone who is looking to find a mentor, you know, to help them either with guiding their, you know, career advice or just professional advice? That, how would you, what would be your advice to getting a mentor?
Try first, maybe look inside your own company and look for someone you would like to be in quotation mark, obviously, but like are having the role that you wish you would have or where you would like to grow, and just ask them if they would be open to coach you, to mentor you, to help you grow in there, so they can also make you benefit from their network and benefit from what they learn, so you will learn from it and you will be able to build your own career. And if inside your company you don't see that, you don't have anyone that could support you, go to meetups, go try to create a network with Women in Tech Republic or yeah. Type of structure where you can have other people like you who are also here to network, also here to connect, also here to create relationship with other women in tech, and just go to them. Everyone, from what I can say and I experience, everyone who are in this type of structure are really willing to open doors for other and are really willing to support the growth of other. So you should not shy away, and again, dare ask.
Thank you so much for taking part in the podcast. I really appreciate it. I think you've given some really like insightful, but also like really good tips and advice that people can take away. So thank you very much.
Thank you for having me. That was really, really nice.